Well, hello, 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 everyone. I'm so excited to be back with you. Welcome to Whiplash Talk. This is Sunshine, and I'm ready to start an hour of fun and excitement and just talking about life with you. I just wanted to thank you for being with me in the last 2 weeks, the last show that I had. It was a tough one, but it was a necessary one, and that is all about what Whiplash Talk is about. That's why I started it. It's going through that process in life where you're peeling back the layers and you're trying to be more in touch with your spirit side, which is the true you, and less in touch with your human, physical, tangible, touchable, physical body, and letting spirit take the lead. I have promised you that I would be fully transparent with this program, because I believe there are others of you out there that are walking through the same steps, going through what, you know, some of us call the dark night of the soul. And so I wanted to start off this first part of the show with letting you know that I've reached out to a couple of people for some help and trying to process, you know, how do you process this when I, being raised as a Christian, knew how to process it that way. But the more I've peeled back the layers, I realized that for me personally, that is something that I believe organized religion has been more of a weapon against the human race, a weapon against humanity. And I was lost. I didn't know how to process this. I didn't know how to process the grief. I didn't know how to process the pain and the loss. And so, I, as everybody knows, I'm very open about this. I am a huge follower of Q. I believe in Q. I believe that he was sent here for this time, for this purpose, and has done it more than one time. And I really believe in what he says and what he helps us through. And someone he mentions is Lucia Nicola Evans, and she is a relationship navigator. And I reached out to her and I got some help from her, and we went through a session together. And out of that session, I came out with some inspired action steps and some affirmations and a finish the sentence program and some stuff that I thought might help other people. And so I just wanted to start with, we talked a lot about what it was like. And for those of you that haven't heard the previous shows, my life partner that I had wanted to spend the rest of my life with had been diagnosed about 5 years ago with stage 4 metastasized colon cancer with a 5% chance of living. And in doing all of the natural things that he did, and with conventional medicine as well, but really tried to lean more on the natural medicine and the natural healing, he made it. He made it 5 years, give or take a few months, but he made it 5 years. And but the loss of that physical person, oh man, it was huge. And so I talked about that on the last show, and I apologize for, man, it was tough to get through that last segment. But I'm doing better. I'm obviously not 100%, but I just wanted to share, we talked about some inspired action steps. And if you guys are going through some tough times, maybe this will help you, or maybe you would want to reach out and ask, you know, Lucia if she has an opening where you could get on her calendar and work with her as well. The first step was for me to write a letter of appreciation and love, or heart, as she put it, to Bill. Bill was my friend. And I have still not done that. I'm going to be real honest with you. I haven't done that yet. I want to, and I plan to, but I just haven't been able to get that done yet. My second one is to allow myself space to slow down, and I have done that. My employment right now is crazy busy. I have a big, huge audit with a government entity on this coming Monday, 2 days away. And, but I have allowed myself to slow down and to just enjoy, to go out and play in the dirt and feed the birds and water the plants and just slow down. And that has been really nice and really good for me. The third thing on my inspired action steps was to write a list of self-care practices and implement them regularly. I don't know about all of you, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but sometimes we all run so hard and so fast trying to run our businesses or trying to, you know, do the best job you can do for your employer, and you end up by working late or going in early, and when you get home, you don't really have anything left. You just want to unwind, disconnect, and go to bed. And so I have focused on, okay, I'm going to put some self-care practices into that, to where I'm taking care of not just the physical body, but I'm taking care of the emotional, mental body as well. So doing my commands that I have from Q, and doing my affirmations, and you know, like a sea salt bath, a Celtic sea salt bath, or a Epsom salt bath with some essential oils, or whatever your jam is, whatever makes you happy, or whatever brings you peace and helps you kind of get back into that center of self-care. Implement that into your life. My fourth inspired action step was to be gentle with myself and allow grace to be my guide as to when to release Bill. And at first I was like, I don't ever want to release him. And in asking questions and in asking a clarifying question, it's not to release him to where I don't think about him ever again, but it was to release him as I knew him in the physical realm. And part of that, she wrote, which was really interesting. She told me to get some crayons. I'm like, sweet, I get to be a child again. Get some crayons or colored pencils or whatever, and to just draw how I see Bill in the spiritual realm. How do I see him now? Now that he is not in physical form. And I thought that was very interesting. So I'm going to plan to do that when I write my letter of appreciation. So it was a little easier for me to go, okay, I can release that, because I need to release that physical part, that how I see him. So I thought, that's good. I think that will help bring some healing and some closure, but not where I have to not think of him anymore. So I liked that. On the affirmation, she gave me four affirmations, which I really like, and I thought these might be helpful to you guys as well. The first one was, I trust the universe and life's lessons are for me. And I thought, that's good. You know, that's really good. You have to trust the universe, and you have to trust that there's something bigger than, oh me, why did this just happen? You have to know that life's lessons are for me, whether it be for me to learn, whether it be for my correction, whether it be for my growth, whether it be for my excitement. Life's lessons are for me, and I trust the universe. The second affirmation was, I allow myself space to slow down. Again, I tend to run fast and furious. I tend to go, 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 push, push, push. A little bit of an overachiever. Want to do a good job for whomever I'm working for, whatever I'm doing. And sometimes people like me, we're like the Energizer Bunny. We run, 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 and then we hit a wall and we have to rest. I don't want to get to that point to where I have to rest. I want to get to the point to where I want to rest, and I slow down because I'm taking care of me. So if you're writing these down, the first action step was, I will write a letter of appreciation and heart to whomever your loved one was. I will draw the second inspired action step, or second affirmation, sorry. The first affirmation was, I trust the universe and life's lessons are for me. The second affirmation is, I allow myself space to slow down. The third affirmation, I open myself to the peace and love present in this moment. I open myself to the peace and love present in this moment. It was very helpful to me. And four, I listen to my inner knowing as it is guiding me through this painful time. A lot of times Q will tell us to go within, go within, go within. Man, that used to frustrate the snot out of me. And there's my Southern coming out. I'd get so frustrated. I'm like, what the freak does that mean? And the more that I press in and the more that I tap into who I am as spirit and that is me, that is the core of me, the more I understand, go within. And so this affirmation, I listen to my inner knowing as it is guiding me through this painful time. I really appreciated that. Then to finish the sentences, those were the hard parts for me. And usually I'm good at these because, you know, as a business professional, you're kind of trained to finish the sentence day in and day out. But these were a little harder for me. But the first finish the sentence is, what I can count on for sure is dot, dot, dot. What I can count on for sure is dot, dot, dot. Two, what I love most about myself is dot, dot, dot. What I love most about myself is dot, dot, dot. Three, my way back to sunshine is dot, dot, dot. Three, my way back to sunshine is dot, dot, dot. Four, I enjoy being in the garden. It helps me feel dot, dot, dot. I enjoy being in the garden. It helps me feel dot, dot, dot. And five, what connects me to my spirit is dot, dot, dot. What connects me to my spirit is dot, dot, dot. I hope giving you a glimpse of my time with Lucia has helped many of you out there. Take what works for you and don't do the rest. Just take what works for you and blesses you and go from there. When we come back, I will have a poem that I will read for you, and then we'll start talking a little bit about news and prepping and some other things. So I'm going to go on about a 2-minute little break, music break with my sunshine music, and I'll be right back with you. My sunshine music. Welcome back. I have this poem ready to go. I have it all queued up. I'm going to read it for you. This is actually one that Lucia wrote, and it really is powerful. I hope to do it justice. And then we'll get into talking about some other things. So if you're not driving, sit there, close your eyes, and just try to take this in. See if it talks to you as it's spoken to me. It's called Returning Home to Innocence. I am presence, and I am humanity. Presence is alive and full. It has its own intelligence. Presence is warm and tender. It is love in its purest form. What does my humanity long for? To be met with presence. To be loved exactly the way it is. It longs to be received and adored, heard and cherished, expressed and seen, acknowledged and appreciated, and above all, it longs to be nurtured with curiosity in its messy, untamed ways. It delights when it is touched with a sense of awe and wonder, slowing down time, so it can feel the magic of what it is like to be loved unconditionally, so it can finally feel safe to relax as it returns home again to its innocence of being. That's what my humanity longs for, to be met with presence. Lucia Nicola Evans. I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. I think that's a beautiful poem. I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on that I'm noticing and watching and just kind of looking out for you guys. And, you know, we've all kind of got to be community and stick together. And there's a person on YouTube called the Market Sniper. His name is Francis Hunt. He's on YouTube. You can find him. And he teaches a lot on, of course, the market and how to snipe it, how to get in, how to get out. But he actually had a short on YouTube, and I probably would not have watched it if I had not known who he was. And so that's probably spirit leading me to that. And he started talking about how the U.S. and Europe, to some degree, is eyeing assets to aid Ukraine to fund its war. And I'm like, what? What's he talking about? And he's talking about the $300 billion that Russians kept in U.S. treasuries that the current leadership in the White House initially froze. Whenever the news a while back, whenever there was news about how Russian assets were frozen. And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. That happened a while back. That's right. I remember that happening. But he went further into talking about, but it has turned into a full-blown confiscation. And I'm like, what is he talking about? And he's talking about how the institutions and other foreign countries are going to be justifying how are institutions in other foreign countries going to justify buying into an asset class where the funds were first frozen and then stolen and turned into slush funding for a pet project to wage war against the original owner of the asset? I'm like, oh my goodness. And then he continued in the short, he kind of ended the short talking about the collapse of the rule of law should be reflected far higher in the yields required to be an owner of a U.S. Treasury, because it is turning into an arm behind your back that can be twisted at any time, and forfeiture of that asset could occur if you ever did something that the country considered not in their interest. And then never mind if it was for your interest. How are you going to even invest in such an institution? You are not, he said. And that kind of brought me to a point to where we've talked about it a little bit on the show before. I tell you what, everybody get into your wallet or your pocketbook or whatever you've got and pull out a current. And this is in the United States, but if you're in another country and you have a U.S. paper dollar, as we call it, pull that out. The denomination doesn't matter. Just pull that out of your wallet, and I'll do a sidestep here for just a second. But everybody pull that out. I want you to pull that out and have it in front of you so I can walk you through something. And I'll wait for a little time. We'll keep talking about what Francis was talking about. He was talking about, you know, in past times, we have frozen other countries' assets. If we, as the United States, felt that they were incorrect in doing something or were not doing something ethical, moral, whatever, and not going to get into whether we as a country are ethical and moral or not. I'm not getting into all of that, not getting into politics. I'm just trying to talk about what Francis is talking about here, about you can freeze the assets, but whenever you confiscate them, that kind of crosses a line just doing good business with one another. And so that's what brought me to this point. So I hope everybody has a U.S. dollar of some denomination in front of you. And on the front of the dollar at the top, it says Federal Reserve Note. Okay. So it says note. Okay. So if you go and Google note or bank note, the definition is a piece of paper money constituting a central bank's promissory note to pay a stated sum to bearer on demand. So it's a promissory note to pay a stated sum to the bearer on demand. Okay, well, what's a promissory note, you say? Well, basically, promissory is conveying or implying a promise. So if it's a promissory note, you're implying a promise to pay back the stated sum to the bearer on demand. A promise. Okay, wait, what? Okay, so you mean when our paychecks are deposited at the bank, that the hard-earned money is turned into a promissory note to pay back to the bearer on demand? Well, what if inflation, hypothetically speaking, of course, what if inflation is hyperinflation and the non-governmental private company called the Federal Reserve is printing money like crazy to try to keep the facade going that our fiat dollar still has value? In other words, trying to keep the music going for musical chairs. You better keep the music going before the music stops. And then everybody realizes there's not any money left. So where is all of our hard-earned money in all of our bank accounts? What do you mean I have no money? What do you mean I can't pay my mortgage, my car payment, my grocery bill, my gasoline? Wait, I don't understand. That was my money. I gave it to you, bank. Where did it go? I don't think a lot of people really realize that once you deposit that money, you've made a deposit into that bank and you're giving them permission to take that money and make loans and to invest and do things with that money, that your cash doesn't, it's not there. It's not in that bank. But, you know, you can sure go back and, you know, demand to get it, you know, that promissory note and to, you know, have them, you know, come and, you know, upon the bearer, you know, to pay a stated sum to the bearer on demand. Well, then we get into kind of another problem. Our money is not precious metal backed anymore. It went from being a gold backed denomination, you know, currency, sorry, to going to, it was then, you know, the petrodollar. So we at least had, you know, some clout there, because anybody that was purchasing or whatever, doing deals for the petrol oil exchanges and stuff, had to do it in U.S. dollars. Well, with the BRICS nation stuff going on, and with all of the stuff in the Middle East, all of the countries in the Middle East looking more like they're going with the BRICS nations, well, there's no petrodollar. So if our money is not precious metal backed, and the government just recently confiscated and stole $300 billion from Russia, why do you think your promissory note, in quotations, from the Federal Reserve notes would be any different? So maybe it's time to diversify, my friends. And I am not a financial advisor. Haven't played one on TV. Do not even begin to attempt to give you advice on what to do. I'm just saying, open your eyes, watch the news, watch the water, see what's going on. Maybe it's time to diversify. And maybe you're saying, I don't have two nickels to rub together. Well, you know what? Two nickels is actually really currency. It's worth more. It actually is currency. That paper money is a note. It's not currency, and it's not backed by precious metals. So I'm not talking about diversifying your stock portfolio. I'm talking about tangible assets. If you can't afford to purchase or invest in gold or silver, what about 90% junk silver? It's also called constitutional silver, or more in layman's terms, pre-1965, 1964, dimes, quarters, half dollars, and silver dollars. But it's got to be before 1964, some 1965, but I always just go by 1964 or older. Dimes, quarters, half dollars, and silver dollars, because those were made with 90% silver. And as I mentioned earlier, your change, your U.S. coinage, is actually currency. It's not a Federal Reserve note. So maybe stop spending your change at the, when you're making purchases to make, you know, the exact change. Maybe spend those bills and keep the change. Because if things get tough, that is actually still currency. Maybe save it for bartering. You know, I'll give you, you know, so much in change for a dozen eggs or a loaf of bread. So, as I'm wrapping up here on the bottom of, you know, 30 minutes into the show, always, always, always purchase your gold, silver items to have in hand. Remember, you're going to need smaller to be able to barter and to not give away much of your investment for a loaf of bread or something like that. And you can find constitutional silver anywhere. You can even find it at your pawn shops, and they should sell it at the local silver rate with just a little bit above it. So I'm going to take a really quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some more stuff and get into some more things about growing our own food and stuff. I'll see you back here in about 2 minutes. Welcome back. I am so glad you guys are spending your hour with me. It's been a good 30 minutes, and let's just get back into it. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about just finishing up again. I am not a financial advisor, and therefore I do follow people that I believe to be sound. Of course, everybody has to, you know, test the waters for themselves and test the person to see if they are a right fit for you. There are three people that I do follow on YouTube. One is Danielle DiMartino Booth. She's a little spitfire, and she is spot on pretty much everything that I have listened to from her. I have not found anything that was not something that I could use or didn't align with what was going on in the world at the time. I'm not a financially trained person. And so some of the things they talk about and watching the charts and the candles and all of that kind of stuff, that is not something that I understand or have great depth and training on. But I still get a lot from listening to these three people, Danielle DiMartino Booth, and it's DanielleDI capital MartinO Booth, BOOTH. I listen to her and I get a lot from her. She makes a lot of sense. And the second person I listened to, she used to be with a previous company, but just launched off on her own. She is, my goodness, she stockbroker for 25 years, I think. Don't hold me to that. She's very wise. And her name is Lynette, Lynette Zhang, Zang. And she just started a new YouTube channel, a new business, The Lynette Zhang. And she teaches a lot on higher end gold investing, investing in art, because that is the realm that she's run in and played in. But she also realizes that there are people that, you know, there are people that don't have a lot of money to invest, that don't have money to invest at all. But she still helps in teaching how to look at things and the things that we should be doing to prepare for what is coming. You know, having some extra food and having community, having people that, you know, you are in community with, to where you have eggs, they have milk. You can work on cars, they can take care of children. Things like that, to where you have a community, to where if things do get a little tough for a while, across the world, I know that this show goes all over the world. So not just in the United States, but everywhere. If there are people that can help, that you trust to take care of your children while you're trying to do this, and then you can share what you farmed out in the field with the people that are taking care of your children, then that's a win-win, because our children so need to be protected. And I just really think that listening to Lynette will help you understand. She's gone to the point of, she has a gardener that has planted a garden for her, and she does tilapia and the aquaculture. You know, she's growing tilapia, but then she's also growing plants out of the water that's, you know, fertilized from the fish. So things like that, you can get really creative. You don't have to relate to everything she says, but you can take bits and pieces away. And I really enjoy listening to her. The third person is Gregory Mannarino. He's out of New York. He's a spitfire. And sometimes, I don't know if I would listen to him with the children, to be honest with you. Sometimes he kind of throws a zinger and you're like, oh, crap. But Mannarino, Gregory Mannarino. He also knows a lot about financial stuff and what's going on. And I believe that you guys might really benefit in listening to him as well. Another person I listen to for more health and natural things, if things get tough and, you know, we can't get to a pharmacy or a store that carries over-the-counter items that we might need for everyday things that could be pretty critical if we don't have access to anything. She is amazing. Her name is Barbara O'Neill, O apostrophe N-E-I-L-L. And she's known for all of her teaching on castor oil. And she doesn't teach on using castor oil internally. She teaches on using it externally. What all it's good for, what all it does, how it can help, how to naturally use it in an everyday fashion. But she also teaches on common household items, on how to make compresses and or poultices, depending on what the need is and what needs to be treated and how to treat it. And so I wrote down a list of the five things that she just taught on that I listened to last night. And it was so easy, but yet who knew? So she talked on castor oil a lot. And she talked about how it can be reused on the compress because it's not drawing any impurities or toxins out of your body. And she talked about how to put together the compress and how to store it and how to reuse it. Just basic things that our generations have lost. We don't have that knowledge anymore in general mainstream. We don't have that. We've lost that. And it's something that we need to learn. She talked about how to use garlic as poultices and things like that. She even talked about how to treat sore throats with compresses. She talked about using onions, just raw onions or boiled onions, and different ways to use those in poultices or compresses, and the many things that it treated, you know, joints and aches and pains and sore throats and earaches, babies' earaches. Ginger, grated ginger, and how to use that to treat with poultices or with compresses. And then with potatoes and how gentle potatoes can be, places where you might put cayenne, you definitely, places that are very tender skinned, you would not want to put cayenne, but you could definitely put potato because it still draws the impurities out or the toxins out, but it's very gentle. It doesn't burn and it doesn't have, you know, hard oils that are going to maybe blister the skin like garlic would do if it wasn't covered in a fabric, you know, protecting your skin. So I just thought it was really interesting that Barbara O'Neill was somebody that I was really blown away. I'm like, this is really good. And I thought I had never heard of her before. And a friend of mine, it was actually on a Facebook post. She just posted her name and I looked at it and I thought I need to go check that out. And castor oil is pretty amazing. So I encourage you guys, go to YouTube and check out Barbara O'Neill. And then you can check out Danielle DiMartino, the Lynette Zhang, and then Gregory Manorino if you're wanting to kind of follow some more financial stuff and see what's going on there. I wanted to also talk about ham radio and getting your ham radio license, because if we go into, not saying we will, but if we go into a martial law situation to where we're all locked down into our homes, or we go into a situation to where common law goes into effect and people that have not been awake at all are really panicking and there's rioting in the streets, maybe in some of the bigger cities, and we don't dare get out, but we want to stay and protect our homes. We sure don't want squatters taking over our homes. There's a purpose for having ham radios. And if there's an emergency situation in your neighborhood or in your family medically, you could still communicate. Our cell phones may be down, things like that may be down, but we still may have ham radio. And so it might be worth thinking about getting your technician's license to, you know, study up for that and then go get your technician license and then get registered. And then you can, there's a really easy way to get into the, I'm sorry, my cat Sherman is wanting to jump up in my lap. I'm sorry. He's sidetracking me. There's an inexpensive way to get into ham radio. You don't have to have all of the bells and whistles. There's a unit called a Bofang, and it's B-A-O-F as in Frank, E-N-G. And it's a handheld, kind of almost like a walkie-talkie looking device. I think I got mine for like $99, and I thought it was a really good investment to have and to go ahead and work on getting that license. So if for some reason, you know, you could still, you know, radio out and see, you know, what's going on in your area and see what other people are hearing or what other people are seeing and have an idea of, you know, what's happening in your area. So I encourage you to do a little more research on that and maybe do some studying up on that. And then let's take a quick short break and let's come back and talk about growing your own food and where you're at. And then I'll send you off on your way for your wonderful weekend and I'll catch you in 2 weeks. But let's go ahead and do a little music break and I'll be right back.
What are you doing?
Welcome back, everybody. Sherman got his scratch and he's all happy now. So I think I can continue on. I think I've got the blessing from Sherman the Tank to continue. I want to encourage you guys to maybe think about taking a leadership role in your community activism. For instance, it's kind of in a rural area, but I still am in a subdivision area. And, but there's, you know, rural area around, but this little area that has zoning codes and et cetera and so forth does not allow backyard chickens. And man, it would be nice to have some chickens going into what we're going into. And I've thought, well, why can't we have chickens? And so that's something that I'm thinking about doing and seeing if I can help rewrite the zoning code to allow a certain number of backyard chickens to be allowed, possibly don't allow the rooster because of the noise, blah, blah, blah. But that's something that I'm thinking about doing, and maybe that's something that you guys could think about. And I wanted to talk about when I was deciding to plant my garden. Normally I grow lots of different types of veggies and try to can some if I have a good harvest. If I don't, just enjoy the harvest that I have and work from there. But this year I went a little different. I don't eat a lot of starches. Don't get me wrong, I love them, but they love my waistline. So I changed it up a lot this year, and I planted a whole raised bed of potatoes. I did an entire raised bed of onions, and I'm going to do an entire raised bed of sweet potatoes. And in doing that, that allows me to grow food that I can harvest and then harden off a little bit. You have to, you know, let your potatoes, you know, dry out a little bit on the outside of the skin, so the skins dry a little bit, and then put them up to where you will have food going into your winter months until you can, you know, grow your next batch of food. I did that for two reasons. If I'm hungry, am I going to say I don't eat starch? Oh, no, I'm going to eat starch. Absolutely, I will eat starch. And there's nothing like a darn good potato. I mean, there's nothing like it. Who doesn't like potatoes? I mean, come on. So I did that for two reasons. People like potatoes, and that's a good bargaining vegetable. And it's one that I don't have to worry about. If I don't have refrigeration, it's going to go bad. Or if I don't can it, it's going to go bad. So that's something to think about whenever you're planting your garden. Maybe this season you plant more towards long-term planning than short-term planning. I'm still going to plant tomatoes. I'm still going to plant peppers. I'm still going to plant herbs, things like that. But just letting you in on my game plan is to be more of a long-range planner this year and plant some items that can be barter veggies, but can also be veggies that will not go bad that I can store in a cooler, dry place and still have food through the winter. So that was one thing that I'm doing. I have always told you guys that I would be honest with you and kind of tell you where I'm at and what I'm going through. It was hard. It's hard right now because I feel pretty alone on, you know, with my mother having passed a little over a year ago and Bill passing on March 30th, I feel alone in what's coming. But I'm taking the wisdom that I learned from my mom and canning things and how to grow things and the wisdom that I learned from Bill on, you know, how to grow things, but two, how to use Epsom salt to feed, you know, feed my lawn and, you know, get away from, you know, chemicals and stuff that I never wanted to use. And it's just, you know, you just embrace what you learned from the people you love and you implement that and believe that you're making the right decisions. And so I encourage you to, even if you're, like I said, on a patio for an apartment, go see if you can find like a little patio tomato that will grow little cherry tomatoes for you, or find a determinate, not an indeterminate, but a determinate tomato plant that will only grow so high. The indeterminates will just grow and grow and grow and grow. And those are the ones that are a little hard to grow on a patio. Not that you can't, you're just going to have, you know, places where you can stake it up in a pot that's big enough to allow you to get that root depth that you need and without it drying out. So another thing you can do to get ready for possibly when grocery stores can't get their food, now that it's spring and summer, if you know how to can, even if you're not growing your own food, if you can get a good deal on stuff at a farmer's market, or if there's a food side stand to where some of their stuff is wilting and it's not going to be good, and you know how to can, maybe you can make a deal with them to call you and say, hey, come pick up this, you know, bushel of green beans or whatever. I can't sell them, they're wilted or whatever. You can cook those up and, you know, prepare them, you know, get them ready and throw them in your jars and can up some green beans or something if you know how to can. Another thing to do is make friends with those roadside markets and your farmers market vendors, because those vendors in most states, I don't know about in other countries, but in most states, those vendors, they actually grow their own meats or their own vegetables, or make their own soaps or deodorants and toothpaste. And so if you get to know them and you become friends with them, if things get tough, if you have the rapport with them, then they know you, then that's well down the road to being community to where they would consider continuing to include you in their community. So get to know your farmers market people, get to know those vendors, and figure out what it is that your specialty in this world that you offer that you can help them with. And maybe next thing you know, you're bartering for, they're too busy in the field to clean their house, and you absolutely love cleaning house. So maybe you clean house and trade for, you know, veggies or chicken or beef or something like that. So think outside the box. Bill used to always say, the body can't go where the mind hasn't already been. Kind of goes against what Q teaches about being in the mind, but if you can go into your heart center and think and visualize ahead, I guess is the word I'm looking. Okay, if something happens, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to support my family? What can I do that I'm really good at? You know, how can I make sure that my animals and my people that I love are fed and well taken care of? So I just encourage you, think, like Bill says, the body cannot go where the mind hasn't already been. If you can visualize, if things go Mad Max, how am I going to get through this? It's going to be a lot easier. And let's face it, you know, if it's your time, if it's my time, it's my time. But if it's not, I want to be able to make it through that and take others with me. So, not to end on a down note because it's a sunshine day, but I just want to tell everyone, Sherman is up in my lap. I'm sorry, I'm patting. You probably can hear that. But he wants to be a part and he wants to say hello. So say hello, Sherman. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being a part. And I will be back in 2 weeks with Whiplash Talk. And we will pick it up and see what's going on for the next 2 weeks and pick up some news and go from there. You guys have a wonderful, great weekend and enjoy yourselves. And I wish you only the best. Bye for now.